Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And if it is the first Tuesday of every month,
it is
the bottom line. That is Mitch Fien who said, what did you just say?
Which it is.
That was not on cue either. But anyway, so welcome, Mitch.
How are you today?
I am good. It's pretty hectic, though, right? The end of tax sort of season?
Yeah, we basically have 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks to get it all done.
Or more than that to get it done late.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, we don't want to do that.
Exactly.
Because we have an attorney in-house, and he's going to say, you can't do returns late. I just know he's going to say that. So, Mitch, the bottom line, always a great show about how to improve everyone's bottom line in business. People need to know how to do that.
Exactly. But today we're going to go a little bit different direction. Because our guest today is Joe Abadili. He's been on the radio before. He's an attorney. He's got a quite varied background. And welcome.
Welcome. Thank you very much.
Yes, welcome, Mr. Joe. Can we call you Mr. Joe?
Just call me Joe. Call me Schmo, but don't call me late for dinner.
Yeah. Remember that commercial? You can call me Ray. You can call me Jay.
You can call me Ray. That was great. You can file ask for an extension on the tax returns.
Not anymore.
No.
Last extension. Yeah, we've already done all the extensions we can.
Really? No extenuating circumstances.
I don't know. Do you know of some?
Mental defect? Laziness doesn't count?
No. I don't know. Have we tried that before?
We tried very hard to say that the IRS was going to be gone for a while, but then they came up with their budget so that they had the money to pay them again.
Yeah, what was up with that?
Well, you know, I had all my extensions done like 3 weeks early because I didn't know.
I remember that, yeah. You thought there were going to be a government shutdown.
Yeah, exactly.
Joe, any possibility of a government shutdown?
No, but remember, the government is there to help you.
Oh, yeah, right. And the check is in the mail.
That's right. What is neuro-linguistics?
Neuro-linguistic programming. Ever hear of Tony Robbins?
Anthony, where do I know that name from?
Big motivational speaker, tall.
Yes, that's where.
It's all about the study of human excellence and breakthrough thinking. The whole structure is about peak performance, psychology. It's really business psychology integration.
So Psycho-cybernetics?
No, somewhat, but it goes way beyond that. But that was Dr. Maltz. You remember that? That was a great book. One of the first books I read in that area of sort of self-help.
Yeah. I'm an old guy. I just go back to the old power of positive thinking.
Oh, Dale Carnegie or what's the other one?
No,
Vincent Peale?
It's just, you know, we were talking about my background. I'm going to go all the way back to high school since I just went to my 50th high school reunion.
Did you really?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was great. I went to go see all those old girls that I wanted to date when I was in high school. Now they're all old.
Now you don't want to date them?
No, they're all old. They're all grandmothers.
They all want to date you, right?
come up and hug and all that stuff. But, you know, at my age, my line is the only sex I'm into is oral sex. I just talk about it. You
know? Well, okay.
That doesn't violate FCC. I didn't do
that. He's an attorney. Let's look at Tom. Tom, is that okay? Tom says yes.
Okay.
But how's he going to, you know, he's not going to fight an attorney. Wow, so really the 50th, I've never gone to any of my reunions. How was it? Did you really recognize people?
Yeah, I did. You know, you look at them and you see this guy who's got no hair and balding and the eyes, and then you look at the eyes and you hear him talking. Yeah, I know that guy.
And you know the biggest help is the name tag.
That's right.
I was going to mention that, but you mean yeah. It's a very big help.
So 50th anniversary.
50th anniversary. It was a lot of fun, and but when I was in high school, I wrestled.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did. And as I tell people today, I still look like a wrestler. Unfortunately, it's a sumo wrestler. But I wrestled in high school and college. And you have to develop a positive attitude. And then I'm a product of the 60s. And when I went through college, I finished at the U of A, and there was ROTC was required, and there was a war that was looming. You may recall that.
Vietnam.
Yes. And one of my upperclassmen buddies, we were in high school together, he says, Joe, why don't you get in the advanced program, and the war's coming. You'll go in as an officer, and rah-rah, I want to go and be a leader of men and all that stuff. And I wound up in
Vietnam. And follower of women?
No. Wound up in Vietnam during the bloodiest part of the war and realized, geez, a guy could get killed doing this
1968.
Stuff. 1968. Tet Offensive, 1968.
Yeah, my brother, my older brother was there. Did you know him?
Nope, I didn't.
How do you know?
Well, what was his name?
Jeff Isaac.
I don't remember the name.
Oh.
What did he do?
He was in the infantry. Somewhere,
in case you didn't remember, there were a lot of guys that were.
Oh yeah, that's right. He was like,
and they didn't even want to be in the infantry.
All what he said is that they had to destroy the village to save it.
Well, that's a cute line and all that. Vietnam has a very negative image because a lot of people had an agenda at that time. They lied to the American public so much about how horrible what we did in Vietnam and how poorly we did in Vietnam, what kinds of people were in Vietnam, as they lied to us today about how well we're doing in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Really? Tell us about that.
Well, first of all, I was with the 1st Air Cavalry Division. In Vietnam. We made the air mobile concept famous. I was a combat infantry platoon leader. We'd go out on patrols. Our job was to close with and kill or capture the enemy by means of fire and movement. And we were good at what we did. We never indiscriminately killed anybody. We never destroyed anything that wasn't supposed to be destroyed. We never did any war crimes that I'm aware of. We didn't torture anybody. The worst torturing I saw was the Arvins who would work with us. If they captured a Vietnamese guy, they'd slap him around a little bit to ask him questions. You get more on that when you have rough sex with a new date or something like that, okay? So
wait, did they have waterboarding back then?
I'm going to tell you one story. I want to make it a quick story because I want to tell you some other stuff about Vietnam. One time my platoon was working with another platoon, an Arvin platoon, and we had to gather all these people up in a little stone, like a farm structures, three or four structures together out in the middle of a big field, rice paddies all around us. And so my guys did the perimeter around it, and then the other Arvins did too. And I was inside trying to figure out what we're going to do, how we're going to gather all these villagers to take them over to the helicopters, to take them to an area for protection because we're going to level this whole area. And all of a sudden I heard the screaming outside. And I go outside there, and there was this woman on her knees. She's a cute little gal. Her hands were tied behind her, and there were two other women that were holding her baby. Huh. And her breasts were filled with milk, and I just wanted. There's a reason why I'm saying that she was very filled. She just had the baby, and she was on her knees. And this Arvin had an M1 carbine, and he's talking to her in Vietnamese. And he goes up and he kicks her right in the nose, breaks her nose. And I says, Trung Si means sergeant in Vietnamese. Took his rifle and says, no, don't do that. Remember, he's working with our unit. Our unit's working with his. I didn't want to have an international incident and have two units, killing each other. We're supposed to be on the same. So anyway, I go back inside. You ask me about waterboarding, and then I hear her screaming again. And he's got her in the back. A little stream rolled through this little farm area, and he's on a board on her breast. That's why I'm telling you, mentioning the breast, filled with milk, so that had to really hurt. And he's got these little chili peppers that grow wild in Vietnam. He had it in a handkerchief with water in it, and he's squeezing it, putting the water under her eyes.
Oh.
I grabbed him, said, no. Anyway, eventually we moved on. We moved through the village, through the rice paddies and got into the jungle area and then onto the sands for the Chinook helicopters to pick him up. But as we're moving along, I let her go. He says, go Viet Cong. She's Viet Cong. I figured she had suffered enough, and I just let her go with her baby. And who knows? Maybe she was killed later, or she might have gone out and killed other soldiers. Who knows? But anyway, I let her go because I didn't think that was right.
Wow.
Anyway, that's a story. You don't hear those kinds of
no.
stuff. No. Okay, but we did a lot of things. But back to Vietnam, we did a lot of good things. We won the Tet Offensive of 1968, contrary to what Walter Cronkite said. We won the war in 1973. Nixon, who, it was not Nixon's war. Everybody forgets it was Eisenhower who mentioned the domino theory, and it was Kennedy who built up the advisors, and it was Johnson who really built up the war. That's when your brother and I went over there.
Okay. And I almost went.
Did you? Well, you missed it. You're probably out protesting. You probably had long hair down to your butt and all that stuff.
Well, no, actually, I remember the lottery?
Yes.
I was 195. They got up to, 195 or 295. No, it can't be 295. Yeah, it might have been 295.
Whatever.
No, it's 195, and they only got up to like 180.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah. I was already in, but you see, I'm glad you're bringing that up because people don't remember the times. Yeah. It was like if your number was coming, it was like getting the death sentence.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Because they did it by birthday, and then you would get drafted by according. By that. It's like a little, like what do you call
it's,
it?
Bingo. It's like winning the lottery in reverse.
Yeah. And we were all sitting around the fire saying, wait a minute, let's see. And they call October 10th, 195, and I'm jumping up, yeah, screaming with joy.
But anyway, Nixon bombed the heck out of North Vietnam in December of 72 and 73. They came to the peace table. They gave us back our prisoners of war. They agreed to peace.
Did they give back Jane Fonda?
No, they gave Jane Fonda back, and that's a whole other story.
I know.
something that I can't really mention over the air. Okay?
I hear you. but we have Ted Turner on line one.
Yeah.
How was it married to Jane Fonda? They're divorced, let's put it that way.
It's probably worse than what we were through. But the bottom line is, so we agreed that we would help the South Vietnamese. We didn't. North went back into the South, and we had already left, and the rest of history. And then they said that the American soldier lost the war.
Because the South came in. I mean,
the North came in, right.
Came in, we had gone, and we had promised that we were going to help the South, and we broke that promise.
And now, yeah, exactly.
And you know what's happened? And you know what happened? And all the anti-war protesters who, leave it alone because it's just a civil war. They'll all get together. They'll all be happy. I have a lot of Vietnamese friends presently today in Arizona. And the bottom line is China's coming in, stealing all their natural resources and taking over the country.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Our good friends, the Chinese, our benefactors, our debt holders.
So should I ask? Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Should I ask?
Speaking of finance,
I'm gonna write this down and get back to debt holders. Now, what I want to do is
this
ask
is a
you,
business show. After all, I snuck that in.
No, I'm liking this already. What if I dare ask about John Kerry in the days of Vietnam? What would you say?
You know,
the swift boat. You know how a certain side really pummeled him. I thought he was a hero, wasn't he?
You know, when he came back and he threw his ribbons, he really dissed a lot of us. Remember, by the way, when I was in Vietnam, I already had 4 years of college, a year of law school, and a semester of graduate school in business. So I wasn't the average dummy. Okay,
no.
I was an educated guy playing bang bang shoot 'em up. I could see what was going on in the war. When I came back, I was watching the news. I was wondering what the hell war are they reporting on? They're making it sound like we're getting overrun and all this. And that wasn't what it was. But Kerry, when he came back, for whatever reason, he apparently was thinking politically at that time then too. And he took the political.
I mean, he knew he would lose the presidential bid.
No, he knew that if he took this position that was popular in the anti-war movement, this might benefit him down the road.
It was getting popular, wasn't it? A lot of
protests. The anti-war protests were very popular.
Yeah.
And that just goes to show you that the American public can be easily misled.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like they all wanted to go kill those people because of the World Trade Center. We got those people that bombed us, didn't we? Don't think too hard on that. Don't think too hard
did
on
we?
That. No, we didn't.
I didn't think so, Mitch. I was looking for you.
We've gotten a couple.
We got one of them.
Didn't we just get one?
The Navy SEALs, I mean?
No. Well, yeah, recently. Because of the fervor in this country, the whipped up fervor for a lot of nefarious reasons, a lot of them, whether it be the military industrial complex, whether it be the Project for a New American Century, whether it be George Bush wanted to be a war president, whether it's because he was mad because Saddam Hussein tried to kill his daddy.
I think that's what it was.
Whether it was because Saddam Hussein and bin Laden were good buddies, which isn't true because one was religious, one was secular, or whether it was because Saddam Hussein was going to fly those model airplanes over. No, the real reason is because of the weapons of mass destruction. What did I come up with? About 10 reasons? None of them valid. We went over and killed between 100,000 and 1 million innocent people who didn't do anything to us.
And why is that?
Because Americans are racist.
Ooh.
Because Americans.
The views expressed on this program
because
are not necessarily that of the host. Or this is the bottom line with Mitch Spean, but he's not talking right now.
Americans are racist. Americans are also religiously biased. there are Islamists who are fanatics and are crazy, and we should deal with them harshly, and we have with some. But all of them aren't that way.
Are we going to be giving your phone number out after the show?
Hey,
I'm kidding.
I used to do radio talk show. Part of the reason I don't do it now is because I spoke like this. But, you know, very seldom
well,
do
thanks
people.
Thanks a lot.
Well, I'm doing it. You're not.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
This is a disclaimer. It's all my fault, people. It's not their fault.
How do you say your last name? Yeah.
Melvin Bunkushave. Yeah.
Well, let's see. Let's take a break real quick here. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Mitch Spean and special in-studio guest.
Mickey Mouse.
No, Joe Ebeldeli. Did I say
Ebeldeli?
Oh, I was close. Ebeldeli. And we'll be right back.
How healthy is your business? Is your business plan helping your bottom line? Do you even have a business plan? Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business has over 25 years of helping businesses of all kinds and sizes to get them where their owners want them to go. She uses her special wellness check process. It's to assess where your business is now and then uses her own unique 7 steps business excellence plan to expand and grow your business into something to be proud of. Barbara will take a holistic or a global appreciation view of your company, and that's absolutely going to make a difference to your bottom line. So call now and schedule a wellness check and watch your business grow. 602-750-4518. That's Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business. 602-750-4518.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And yes, we are still here. I can't quite believe it, but this is Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. But it's especially, I want to point out, this is the bottom line with Mitch Spean. This is your show, Mr. Mitch. Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. And special in-studio guest.
But you've got to have things that are a little bit...
controversial.
Absolutely.
Joe
and the fact is
Ebeldeli.
Yeah.
How did I do?
You did
Joe
well.
Ebeldeli.
Did well.
Let me say it about 27 times.
No,
Joe Ebeldeli.
No, you don't need that. But write it on the wall 100 times.
The views here are Joe Ebedeli's. Okay, anyway, we were... I wrote down, as you talked a little earlier, about the debt holders are Chinese, so...
You and I are old enough to remember when we used to... You and I are old enough to remember when we used to be the number one creditor nation in the world.
I don't remember that.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Yes, you do. And now we are the number one debtor nation in the world.
Wow, what the heck happened?
Well, because we did a lot of things that we borrowed money to do because we didn't fund them properly. Like a war in Iraq, like a war in Afghanistan... like Medicaid drugs, and then we lowered the taxes on the top 1% of our society, while at the same time doing all these unfunded actions, and this caused us to spend money that we didn't have. And so we borrow money from other entities, and China seems to have a lot of money, and they seem to be our number one creditor. We are their number one debtor. We are the world's number one debtor. Now, people say that we're poor. We're really not poor because we have assets, but we also owe a lot of money. So the question is, just like in a personal situation, if you have a lot of money or if you have a lot of debt, but you have other assets, you have to either liquidate those assets and pay off your debts or figure out a way to get your debts exonerated.
So for the listeners who are confused about this, because it is going around that, hey, we owe all this money to the Chinese, they own America, people say, What does it really mean, though? I mean, the Chinese can't come in and say, okay, I'm taking over this half of the planet. Yeah. They can't repossess half.
Well, any more than any of the other countries that own a lot of things in the United States of America. Saudi Arabia owns a lot of stuff. A lot of the Arab countries do. Europe owns a lot of things in the United States of America, but they don't.
You know who's the only one that doesn't own? It's the American people.
Well, the American
they've lost everything. What's going on here?
The American people. And I'm an American, and I'm proud to be an American. But I'm so disappointed that we have lost our values. This is supposed to be a family values show, right?
Yes, it is.
What does that mean? What are the family values? Does that mean clapping real loud when a Texas governor is noted to have executed more people than anybody else?
Mm.
Does it mean clapping loud or booing a soldier?
That would be Rick Perry, by the way.
Or does it mean booing a soldier when he's asking a question about don't ask, don't tell because maybe he was gay? You know, if we'd have known each other 20 years ago, and if either of you would have said, you know what, Joe, just like Adolf Hitler did, in 20 years, we're going to invade a country that never attacked us, just like Hitler did in the Sudetenland and Poland and Czechoslovakia. I'd have said you both were full of crap, okay? If you'd have said to me, you know what we're going to do? We're going to institutionalize torture such that we're even going to have the lawyers in the White House, the Office of Legal Counsel, who advise the president, the executive branch, we're going to have them write legal opinions because, you know, lawyers can argue on both sides of their mouth. I know because I are a lawyer, been doing it for 40 years. They're going to justify our ability to torture people, and we're going to institutionalize that as part of our United States American policy. I just said, you both were full of crap. If you'd have said we were going to kidnap people and send them to other countries to be tortured, I'd have said, you're wrong. We would never do anything like that. If you'd have said, you know, all the things that we have wound up doing, I'd have said, that's not America. That's not American values. Did you guys see The A-Team, the movie The A-Team?
I didn't see it, but I do like that guy. What's his name?
Mr. T?
No. Liam Neeson.
No, the other. Yeah, I like him, but the other guy.
George Peppard.
The other guy.
Oh, the other guy.
Sounds like Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, he's a good actor. He plays face in this.
I like him.
Did you see The A-Team?
I've seen the show. There's a series and a movie.
Oh, there's a series?
Did you see the movie? The recent movie.
Not recently.
Well, the recent movie, there's a line in there that I just love, and I'm just going to tell you this one line. The guy that George Peppard used to play.
Can you say it on there?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
I'm not going to use profanity.
Okay.
I know better than that. as much as it kills me. But the bottom line is he's talking to these guys from Black Forest, which is a takeoff on Black Water, okay? He's talking to these guys, and they said, come on, guys, we need to know this information. And the guy that Peppard's part was, you know, the head guy of the A-Team, he says, come on, we're all soldiers. He says, you guys aren't soldiers. You're assassins in polo shirts. I love that line. Well, that's the other thing. If you'd have told me 20 years ago that we would be hiring mercenaries to go out and fight our wars for us and not have them subject to the Uniform Code of Military Justice or any type of control or scrutiny, I'd have said, uh-uh, you're full of crap.
So when did this all start?
It started, I think, primarily under Bush. I think two, because Bush 1 didn't even have Bush 1 still had the executive order that prohibited the assassination of foreign people.
Oh.
Okay. I think it may have changed under Clinton, and then for sure Bush, you know, 2 didn't care. And now what bothers me about Obama, I like Obama because he's smart. I like smart people. And there's so few of them that you can find nowadays, okay?
How about Clinton? Wasn't he?
Clinton was smart. Clinton didn't do anything wrong except getting caught doing what a lot of guys would love to be doing, okay?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I liked Clinton, even though he was too liberal for me. I'm basically a relatively conservative guy. I don't sound like it because of the things I'm saying, but I really am.
Yeah. Ah.
I'm a fiscal conservative. I believe in saving money. I believe in working hard. I believe in the old Protestant ethic. A man is worth what he works hard to achieve and all that. But I also believe in the social contract. And that's why I don't think that we should be reticent about taxing the top 1% in our society. I think there's a there's a moral and ethical and a social duty pursuant to the social contract, I'm going to say it, to have a little bit of that wealth distribution. Because it's wealth distribution when we give money to Boeing and Lockheed and McDonnell Douglas so they can make these toys like an F-35 that can take off vertically and do all kinds of maneuvers and be a fantastic jet to go after what, the last 60 Al-Qaeda that are left in the world?
Well, there's only 60 left?
There's about 60 is what they say.
And it's interesting because I was watching Mr. Obama, they did something with LinkedIn, which allows you to have a lot of contact as far as business, et cetera. And one of the participants stood up and said, "Mr. Obama, will you please tax me more?"
I saw that, yeah.
That was Warren Buffett.
No, it wasn't Warren Buffett. It was another guy that made a lot of money.
It was Jimmy Buffett. No. Now, let me ask you this, Joe.
Okay. Is this going to be a good question or a dumb question?
This is going to be a good one.
All right.
If it's a dumb one, it's the one that Mitch gave me.
Okay.
But no, this is a good one. I think somewhere along the line, the values made a left turn. However, I don't know if it's the American people. I think it's other people pulling the strings, your comment.
Okay. And that's
is that fair enough?
No, not totally fair. It's a good observation, but we're responsible for those people pulling the strings.
But what do you do in a case like this where it seems like wherever you turn, no matter what party, the Tea Party, Republicans, the Democrats, the extreme left, it all seems all their pockets are being lined anyway.
They are.
What do you do?
Well, that's just it. The number one value in our society is greed. I went to undergraduate school. I went to a really good liberal arts college when I was going to college my freshman year. I gave up a four-year scholarship. I was on the dean's list both semesters. But it was one of the top 10 liberal arts colleges in the nation at the time. And I studied liberal arts there, and I came back to the U of A, a big factory. But I still stayed with the humanities. I have a degree in English. I mean, people who know me know that I can say four-letter words better than anybody else can. But actually, I'd be a literate mother trucker, okay?
Yes.
Okay. And but I studied the humanities because I wanted to learn. I studied the Greeks and the Romans and Chaucer and Shakespeare and Keats and Shelley and world history, Western civilization. And I wanted to learn that. And I have a Juris Doctor degree now because I want to know about people. But today, kids want to go to college, if they want to go to college, to get a business degree because they want to make money.
Ah, good point.
Well, my father, when I was young, he was a good old wise Lebanese businessman. He used to say, "Joe, do not worship the idol god money."
I agree, Mitch.
Well, let's face it. What's your degree in?
Okay, and Mitch knows this. I didn't know you knew this.
Yeah, we've had the discussion before.
I have a degree in sociology. Now, I went back for accounting and got my CPA because you can do
well,
that.
That's why you're a humanistic person, even though you prostituted yourself to get into the business world.
No, I'll tell you the story.
I'll never get invited back here again.
I think I like it. I think our ratings are going up. But here's the story.
Along with some people's blood pressure.
Yeah. Here's the story. I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
I went to Cal State Northridge.
You guys went to the same college?
Yes.
You know each other?
Yes.
I've known him over 20 years.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, my condolences.
I know. It's pathetic.
To who?
But what I did is I went to sociology.
Yeah.
The last year, I was about to graduate, they brought in all the sociology majors, meaning the Cal State Northridge, and they said, "We have good news and bad news. The good news, this is a great basis for understanding of the human condition and societies. The bad news, there's absolutely no jobs out there."
Absolutely.
So I went and filled it all up with almost a second degree in accounting.
I wanted to be a sociologist.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
My wife, who's sitting outside the studio over there, has an MSW, Masters of Social Work.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the best you could do is marry into it.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That's true.
Usually people marry in the money, not in the social work.
Well, you know, they call her Saint Donna, which I don't know is as much a compliment to her as it is a shot to me. She worked at the state hospital for a while, and no, there's no truth to the rumor that she met me there. I was not an inmate. I was not there. I deny that, and I'm sticking to that.
I know, but we have documentation, and we're now playing a video, how she met you. And it was in room 1749. Right.
Yeah.
Well. And this is a surprise story for you. I'm kidding. All right, but we're going to take a quick break now. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. Not quite the bottom line today, but very interesting subject matter. Actually, if you want to call in, can we have people call in and
talk? Sure, sure. But before, when we come back for the break, can we talk about the Middle East a little bit so I can maintain my image of people thinking I'm anti-Semitic as I'm sitting here with two Jewish people?
Exactly. Wow. Okay.
And a Lebanese name.
Yeah. What can I say?
We'll be right back.
Maybe.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is clearly the bottom line with Mitch Spien. And I'll repeat it, the bottom line with Mitch Spien. Mitch, what's your number in case people want to give their opinion on the show today?
Well, they can reach me at 602-266-5633.
Excellent.
Or at mitch@jfbpc.com. And I'm more than willing to hear what people have to say because that's what it's all about, communication.
It is fun. Joe Ebedili in-house. I said that right, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
And I like it. It sort of flows. Joe Ebedili.
Ebedili.
See how I say it?
It's got a little fast. It's got a little rhythm to it.
It does. Now, we were talking a lot of stuff. Now, you wanted to mention a few things about the Middle East.
Well, the Middle East is a very complex situation. And it affects us, and a lot of people don't really acknowledge that. It affects us because it affects our economy. We fought two wars there that we didn't fund. It affects our standing with the rest of the world because the rest of the world sometimes thinks that we're far too supportive of Israel and not as even-handed with the Palestinians. This isn't just Joe Abadili's opinion. This is a world opinion. One of the problems that's going on in the Middle East, especially in Israel, is the settlements. The settlers come in. The Israelis take some of the land from the Palestinians, and they build land on it, and keep building and keep building. The United Nations has declared this to be in violation of international law, and it's a problem. Now, I think that there should be a two-state solution, but I think that the United States needs to broker it. But part of the problem, you made a comment earlier about the corruption. They don't use the word corruption, that our government has been bought off. Our Congress has been bought off. And AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, funds a great deal of money to those who will support AIPAC's policies, which thus become the policies of Israel, or vice versa. They're interchangeable. So that's all I want to say. So if somebody wants to call up and say, I'm anti-Semitic, that's my pitch. I'm not anti-Jewish. I'm not anti-Israel. I'm anti some of the policies of Israel, just as I am anti a lot of the policies of the United States of America.
As we heard today.
Yes, you've heard today. And I will put my patriotic credentials up against anybody's.
How about against Mitch's?
Mitch is a schlepper compared to what I am.
Oh.
You like it when I talk Yiddish, huh?
It is good. All right, so
problem is on the radio, they really don't see the subtitles.
Yeah, that's right.
That's hard. These are technical problem.
Okay, next topic. All right. Okay, you're not a big sports fan.
No, but, we spend too much time on sports.
Yeah,
but in your background, you've got quite a bit of, you said 40 years as an attorney, and
that's impressive.
Yes. I keep wondering what they mean by practicing
law. I'm practicing till I get it right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm doing.
But you do it at so many different levels.
I've been a deputy county attorney for about 15 years. I've tried murderers, rapists, robbers, drug dealers, organized crime. I was in the organized crime section. I'm the guy that got the $1 million settlement from Jerry Buss years ago when he didn't pay the right taxes, on owner. Do you remember that case?
The owner of the Lakers.
Lakers, the Kings, and Pick Fair. Used to be owner of Pick Fair and all stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't pay the right property tax. He had like 700 owner-occupied houses that he was paying owner-occupied taxes on rather than non-owner. And that came to us. So I got $1 million settlement on that.
He practice in California?
No, but he bought the houses here.
He did.
Yes,
I didn't know that.
And a lot of people didn't know that until he got ratted out. And I got a settlement on that for $1 million for the county.
Wow!
I did the state fair case defense counsel about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. I got this this dismissal of the Hells Angels case on my client who was the head of the Tucson Hells Angels. That's that Mongols and Laughlin thing, the Mongols and
so
the
Hells. So tell us about that.
Well, they were the Mongols and the Hells Angels had a little kerfuffle up there at one of the casinos in Laughlin, and some of the Hells Angels were charged. A lot of people said it was the Mongols who started, but somebody decided to go after the Hells Angels, and they went after everybody. ATF. ATF of the giving the guns to Mexico fame, ATF went after anybody who was a Hell's Angel, said they were all part of a gigantic conspiracy to do bad things. So my guy was in Tucson. He wasn't even up there. They just tried to paint with a broad brush on him. And eventually we got the case dismissed because the guy who, for the Las Vegas PD, who taped the multiplex monitors, the tapes, when he did it, he lost 10% of each of the of the tapes that he was getting. So, there's always a question of, was that 10% the one that's going to show who shot John first and all that stuff? The government couldn't give the discovery to us. And so I got my guy off on that. But, those are the kind of cases I do. I've been a military lawyer. I've been in the Guard, the Reserve, and on active duty. I was a combat unit commander in Vietnam during the Tet Offensive of 1968. Came back, thought I was done, and then my uncle, your uncle Samuel, said, hey, boy, you owe me some reserve time. You're a reserve officer. So I did the National Guard, and then I did the Reserve. I got my law degree. So I switched from infantry to military police to legal. And then my last assignment, I retired as a full colonel in the Army Reserves. My last assignment was chief of the law branch at the Military Police Operations Agency, where I drafted the investigation of war crimes policy for Operation Desert Storm and bringing in the souvenirs, military souvenirs from war souvenirs policy. And I did a lot of interesting things on that. And so now my wife and I live out in Maricopa on 20 acres, and we have three dogs and about 12 cats, and I built a separate cat house. If you hear that Joe Abadili has a cat house in Maricopa, it's true, but they're real real cats there. And I do a lot of things for veterans. In fact, October 22nd, we're having an event over at the Wild Horse Pass at Casino, and I asked General Barry McCaffrey to come in to be our guest speaker, and he is. He'll be there, and we've got over 400 people set up. It's a dinner in honor of Arizona Vietnam veterans. I want to try and do a lot of things for Vietnam veterans because Vietnam is coming back again. I know you had me; you were gracious enough to let me talk a little bit, but you're ahead of your time on this because DOD, you've heard of DOD, Department of Defense, has a project called the 50th Commemoration of the Vietnam War, and they're making a big push on honoring those who served in Vietnam and trying to tell the story with a little more accuracy, because it's a national shame the way we were treated when we came back. I could handle it because I had already had my undergrad degree and I had a year of law school and a semester of graduate school in business. I went right back into law school, and law school kept me so busy. I didn't have time to sit around and feel sorry for myself. But the way they treated the Vietnam veterans was horrible. And I think as a result of the way they treated us, that's why everybody is bending over backward to treat these veterans that, you know, I'm a Vietnam veteran, so damn the war, not the warrior. But I got to tell you, I'm not a big fan of our invasion of Iraq or our constant occupation of Afghanistan. I think both of those efforts are less meritorious than what we did in Vietnam. See, everybody forgets that Vietnam related to China, communist China, communist Soviet Union, taking over of Southeast Asia, the domino theory, all that stuff. There was a reason for us to go there. And some people criticize the war. It was fraudulently started by the Gulf of Tonkin incident. Well, one of the attacks on the boats might have been iffy. The other one wasn't as iffy. But even if we didn't have those as an excuse or as a reason, you had the CETO Treaty, Southeast Asian Treaty Organization. After World War II, anybody in that area was attacked, we all were supposed to come to their aid. And that's what we did. And I'm proud to be a Vietnam veteran, that I served there, and I do things each year on our property. We have veterans come out first weekend in April, and I have a nice house up front, a Spanish colonial house that we built up there. But in the back, on 5 acres, we have bunkers. We have a 30-foot tower. I bought an old trailer and fixed it up like a Vietnam bar. I have a stage.
Really?
Yeah, and we have the Vietnamese community comes out. We have a bunch of veterans come out. It was more fun about 10, 12 years ago when we were younger. I used to sleep on the ground, and now I sleep on my bed in my house. I'm too old. You know, I don't make fun of those old guys anymore. Anyway, I'll shut up. I'm talking too much.
No. Well, that's why you're here. Now, tell us about Iraq, then. How is this different? Because you mentioned that a couple of times.
Iraq, we have no justification going into Iraq. Had no justification.
The only thing I can think of is helping daddy.
Not even that. You mean to say because somebody threatened his father he could go kill 100,000 people?
That's called mass murder.
The guy's a war criminal. George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and Feith and Pearl and Wolfowitz and all those guys are war criminals as far as I'm concerned. I would love to be a special prosecutor. I might even do it for free just for costs and expenses to prosecute those SOBs because they're criminals. Now, you may say, oh, but that's all political. But you know what? The rest of the world knows what's going on. Rest of the world. That's why they can't travel freely. Oh, I'd love to have them treated. I'd love to have them captured and sent on a special rendition somewhere.
Well, how would you be a special prosecutor?
Well, because
how could you?
The only way I could be. There are two ways. Belushi, remember Belushi or not Belushi?
Oh yeah, Animal House, Jim Belushi.
No, Bugliosi.
Oh.
Bugliosi.
Oh, I remember.
Helter Skelter.
Yes.
Okay, he said that. Each AG of each state could prosecute Bush for murder as a felony under the felony murder rule because of the people that he caused to be killed in Iraq by sending our troops to Iraq. That's one way to do it, or even killing the foreign nationals, I guess. And then I guess each AG could deputize somebody to do that. But the only way to do it through the International Criminal Court is you have to be a nation state that brings that charge. And there is no nation state now to bring that charge. Maybe when we leave, maybe Iraq will do that. And then they can ask that Bush be charged. Or
how much power is that, though? Do they have extradition rights?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question.
Hey, I know my stuff, don't I?
Well, no, that's an interesting question. They may not have the extradition right. Or even if they do, we may not honor it. No, you know what? We don't have to honor it because we deliberately did not become members of the International Criminal Court because we didn't want them to have subject matter jurisdiction over our soldiers in a war zone. So that's why we'd have to do it that way.
Interesting, Mitch.
I agree.
You do? About which one?
Oh, that it's all very interesting.
Oh, okay. He does agree. Well, that's interesting. That's a hot potato, no doubt about it.
It is, and you see, we live in a small world now. The rest of the world, we now see that even our economies are intertwined. You guys are business guys. You know, this debacle that we had with our economy and all that stuff, it affected the world. Greece is affecting us right now.
Yeah.
What Greece does is going to affect Europe, which is going to affect us.
I like it. And when we come back from our break, I want to get a prediction of where our economy is going right here from Joe Ebedili.
You got it.
Wow, that's pretty cool. This is The Bottom Line with Mitch Spean, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
How healthy is your business? Is your business plan helping your bottom line? Do you even have a business plan? Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business has over 25 years of helping businesses of all kinds and sizes to get them where their owners want them to go. She uses her special wellness check process. It's to assess where your business is now, and then uses her own unique 7 steps business excellence plan to expand and grow your business into something to be proud of. Barbara will take a holistic or a global appreciation view of your company, and that's absolutely going to make a difference to your bottom line. So call now and schedule a wellness check and watch your business grow. 602-750-4518. That's Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business. 602-750-4518.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is The Bottom Line with Mitch Spean and special in-studio guest Joe Abadili, a great attorney. I could see why you are a phenomenal trial attorney. That is remarkable. You have great skill sets.
Well, thank you. It's because of my good looks. No, we know that's not true. No,
we are on TV at Break Radio
Show. I have a face for radio. Face for radio.
That's what they tell me. Now, what we're let's see. I was going to. Oh yeah, the prediction. Your prediction of the economy, because a lot of listeners want to know, and people are afraid out there, right, Joe? And so, what's going to happen? How long will this recovery last? When will things start to kick up again? What do you say?
Well, there are many variables, but I noticed. I live out in Maricopa. And Maricopa was one of those places that started building real quick, like, had all these tracks. All the houses were going up. My wife and I built our own custom home on our own property, so that didn't affect us. And then all of a sudden, everything went into the pooper. And pooper's the technical term.
Yes.
Anyway, now we're noticing, though, that houses are starting to be sold again, slowly but surely.
At very low rates.
Very low rates, but at least they're being sold. At least somebody's taking a chance to spend their money.
Yep.
For whether it's to live in the house or whether it's to invest. Also, I noticed that I was listening to Randy Rhodes coming in, and she said that there are more jobs now. Obama saved the automobile industry, and jobs have increased because that would have cascaded. The hurt would have cascaded if General Motors had gone under, because of all the people that buy all the parts, make the parts, this, that, and the other. So that's improving. I think there's a little bit of a turnaround. I think Obama, there's some things that he does that I don't like. I don't like the fact that he killed that American from a legal, technically purist standpoint, not because the guy was a good guy or wasn't harming us or anything like that. It's just he didn't kill anybody and he got the death penalty. See, even if he suggested to other people, go ahead and do bad things and all. I mean, just a guy could say, I think you should go kill that guy. That doesn't mean you give this guy the death penalty. See?
Yeah.
All right. And I have a problem with any president having that power of summary execution. Okay? Slippery slope. That's the only reason why I make that statement. But back to your question. And this relates to your question. So Obama's coming on stronger. I think Obama's going to win the election because the seven dwarfs that are running on the Republican side, they're embarrassing. They're, and by the way, I'm still a registered Republican. I'm ashamed to say that publicly on the air because that is not the Republican Party that I joined years ago. I told you before, I'm a fiscal conservative. I believe in working hard, saving your money, doing the right thing. Part of the reason why we got in this problem is because people started using their homes as investment tools, investment devices.
Yeah.
I bought our home because we wanted to live in it. And the home, I mean, I'm probably going to die in that home, okay?
And the fact is, if you're paying rent, you're going to be paying just about as much, sometimes more, for rent than you are for a mortgage.
Absolutely.
Especially the way the rates have been in the past.
Right.
I want to go back to the seven dwarfs.
Okay.
How would you rate them in order, the most dwarfy to the least dwarfy?
From dopey to doc?
Yeah, exactly.
Who
would be number one dopey dwarf?
Michelle Bachmann is a moron, okay? the pizza guy, Kane, is trying hard, but he's out of his league, okay? People are looking at him because he's another black guy, and maybe they figure, well, we got a black guy president. Maybe this guy could be a good president because he's black, which is really a dumb thing because there are a lot of racists who think that the guy, other guy shouldn't be president because they are black. So, you know, try and figure out that psychology. Perry is a moron. He makes George W. Bush look smart. Plus, he's also dangerous.
Oh.
Plus, I think he's mean. Plus, I think he's greedy. Plus, I think he's a whore. He will sell himself to whoever will buy him to do his bidding. And I think, how can we entrust the union to the guy who wanted to split off from the union?
Mm, good
Remember?
Point. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
All right, that's three. Who's the next ones?
Well, I thought it was, Romney. I like Romney because he's a smart guy, but I feel sorry for the guy because he's trying so hard to be an average Joe and he never will be.
Yeah.
Okay. He means well.
They're all millionaires running.
Yeah. But he really exudes it. He's the guy that eats his cereal, if he eats cereal in the morning, not with a silver spoon, but with a solid 24-karat gold spoon in a probably solid 24-karat gold bowl.
Okay? How about Newt?
Newt is a whore. Newt is out on the talking circuit. He is doing this just to raise money. Just to raise money for speaking events. That's
and then we have, who's the other one? Paul?
The Libertarian, Paul. Ron Paul. Ron Paul says some good things. For example, he didn't like the wars, but he's a Libertarian. And what do Libertarians want? They want to smoke dope and get laid. That's their philosophy. That's what you've heard that before.
No,
you never have.
Now I have. I'll be hearing it tonight.
Well, no, no,
dreams.
You've never heard that expression before about libertarians. They don't want any kind of government. And when you really,
oh yeah, I did hear about that.
Yeah, when you really start talking to them, you don't want any government. How about police? How about fire?
How about schools?
How about school? Well, no, schools. See, these people, the libertarians, and even now the Republicans, don't like schools being run by the government.
How about Huntsman? That way, that's the seventh.
He's the smartest one of all of them.
He was pretty smart. I saw him.
Probably he's keeping his mouth shut.
He's the smartest one of all of them. And he can speak Chinese fluently. He'll be good when China takes us over. He can communicate with the Chinese.
Or if he doesn't tell them, he'll be able to know what they're saying.
There we go. That's right. He can be in the room and know what they're talking about.
Now, here's a question.
Okay.
If Obama's numbers go lower, will Hillary make a challenge?
No. Hillary's out of the picture. She won't do that. And the people that keep talking about Hillary are smoking some really bad stuff, okay? Hillary liked being the Secretary of State. She's done a halfway decent job as anybody can do with that. Obama's done a halfway decent job. He's not as liberal as people say he is. He's really cozied up to Wall Street a great deal.
Yeah.
He's also capitulated with the Republicans a lot, of course, but that was to get things that he wanted. It's called compromise. The ultra-left don't like that. They think he's giving in too much. I like Obama. I supported Obama as a Republican. I wrote an essay that was with this group in Washington, D.C. called Veterans Vision, They put out a newsletter, went to both political parties' campaigns, their conventions, and I had an article in there along with all these other congressmen and all this stuff, and I supported him over McCain because he says you don't have to be in the military to be able to run the country. You notice Obama, the little black kid, the half-black kid, half-white kid, the law professor is the guy that that got the Somali pirates, is the guy that got bin Laden, is the guy that got this new guy. Interesting for a guy who's never been in the military, huh?
How about Sarah?
Sarah Palin. I was going to call her a moron, but that is too complimentary. Okay? She really is an embarrassment to her gender. She really
Whoa.
Is. Because she looks good. Guys look at her, and they're not thinking about what her views are on geopolitics, okay? And you can just see her flip her head. And she just, when she talks, she is dyslexic. She is intellectually dyslexic, if there's such a phenomenon.
And if you want to hear more of this, we're going to have an evening with Joe Epidigli. Wouldn't that be neat?
Yes, it would.
Yes, it would. All right, so that's good. Now, how about, I want to get back to Hillary. Is she ever going to be president?
No.
She's done with it.
Yeah, and because I think she burned some bridges when she was running against Obama. One of the things that hurt her was her when she landed in Bosnia and had to duck all those bullets.
Yeah,
okay?
I remember that. Okay, yeah.
And she likes doing what she's doing with this thing. And I don't think she's going to play well. We still are pretty much a misogynist society. Men are the real leaders, or at least they appear to be, or at least people think that they are.
And the number to call to challenge that one. Now, okay, one last question. I think we're almost at the end of the show. There was talk about Bill Clinton running, but he cannot, or can he? There's controversy there at Constitution. What's the real truth about that?
The term limits for the president says he can't go for the third term, but it doesn't say that after his term. I've never read anything that says he can't run again down the road. I think Clinton likes doing what he's doing. I don't think he wants to get back involved in playing this game and all the scrutiny and dealing with the morons in the press. The press have hurt our country. They used to be the watchdogs of government. They now are the puppets of government. And you got people like, who's the guy that runs Fox?
Rupert Murdoch. Yeah.
And then the Koch brothers. And these people are wealthy people who have an agenda. And I think the agenda is to bring America down.
Wow. Well, that's sad.
It's to bring America down so that we have an absolute plutocracy and we're all slaves to the wealthy people because they have no sense of nation state. Their money is made internationally. So they can live here. If they don't like living here, they'll live in Switzerland or Paris or Geneva, which is in Switzerland, or in Berlin or, you know, where or Beijing, you know. They can live where they're because they don't have a sense of nation state.
Wow. That's a... I never knew Geneva was in Switzerland. Yeah, no, I did. I'm kidding. Well, that is okay.
Obviously, I'd forgotten.
let's sum this up. Mitch, you're first.
Joe, thanks for coming. It's been.
No, I don't mean sum it up that way. Your summary of this particular interesting show.
I think what we've learned here today
yes.
is that there is so much out there to be aware of that. You can't put your head in the sand and just pretend nothing's happening.
Good. So that is nice.
That's profound.
I like
it. Did you write that for him?
I did. I was doing sign language as he was speaking. Okay, so Joe, your summary.
I enjoyed this, guys. I hope I didn't embarrass you too much. I hope you guys still have a show after this one. And thank you for having me.
You've been awesome. And it does show, I agree with both of you, that, I mean, people need to really understand the facts. I think, this is my last comment. We got actually 2 minutes. And then, Joe, I want to hear from you. Is that it really, I don't think the average American really understands that it's all the propaganda from both sides. I'm not going to blame one side, but it's emotional outbursts, the agendas. your comments about that.
But I do, and you do a little bit, certainly not as much as I do.
No, not even close.
Not even close. Both of you together don't know as much as I do.
Well, what do you say?
But don't worry about that. Very few people do. But why do I?
Yeah, why do you?
Because I crave knowledge.
Oh, nice.
Because I seek knowledge. Because I want to learn. I want to know. And I think that the only way we can survive as a country and as a race of people, as a race of mankind, is to try to, as the famous philosopher Rodney King once said, can't we all just get along?
Yes. You know, I was only 10 miles from that incident in Simi Valley.
Were you there? You look, go back.
I wasn't a police officer at the time. That was a story in itself. I don't think we're having...
And he wasn't the chauffeur either.
You know, no.
And he got in trouble later because he was just a criminal. But the cops got caught doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
But we need to figure out a better way to get along. And that's why I like to talk about the Middle East, because people don't want to talk about it. They're too sensitive about it. And it's a problem.
No question about it. Joe Ebedili, thank you for coming in today on The Bottom Line. Mitch Spean, thank you. I'll see you soon. And stay tuned for the Green Roundtable coming right up, and we will be right back.
Arizona Station, 1010 KXXT, Tolleson, Phoenix.